This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi, I'm Tane.
And I'm Aide, and this is Altar Call, a Married at First Sight podcast.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of MAFS. This is season 17, Where Are They Now? Episode, aka the last episode of the season. Hi, Aide. How are you?
Hi, Tane. I'm good. I just realized I have no idea which number episode this is. Like, I've lost count. I think it's 23, but it could be 24.
As do I. That's why I just said, where are they now? I don't know what it is. I almost said allegedly the last episode, but for real. This is the end of the season. We will hopefully never talk about, but that's a lie. We're doing the matchmaking special. But yes. This is the last episode, and we will be discussing this in a few. But for now, ma'am, can you share any housekeeping that we have for the people this week?
So, guys, the season is over, and we had asked you, what do you want us to cover in the meantime? So, to get us started, we will be doing Summer House Martha's Vineyard, and that will be on your feed later on this week. On Patreon, we will go to my favorite, but not Tane's, 90 Day Fiancé Happily Ever After. Just following up with our previous coverage, go to Patreon to hear all about it. And we would also like to shout out some people who have been pretty nice to us. So I have not been on Reddit as much as I should, but it came to our attention that a lovely user named Commercial Bonus made a little love post for our little Altar Call podcast. We are so appreciative, so grateful. Such a pleasant surprise. Thank you for listening and for your support.
I know. It feels like we've been doing this. It's not for a while. It's for like, 3.5 years now? But it's still pretty surprising and lovely when people appreciate what we do. Because again, we were just doing what we usually do in our regular life, talking about reality shows, and to find that people appreciate it and listen to it. We never, ever, ever take it for granted. So thank you so much.
My favorite of the comments on that lovely post was the one that was like, I'm only watching the show because of the two of us. And I felt like, are we doing these people a service or a disservice?
We're giving grace. That's all these people talk about this episode. Giving grace for growth and allowing that one day we will go back to what we used to have. We also wanted to give a shout out to a listener named Therese. She sent a very lovely message. She's like, I'm listening to your podcast from Sweden. Here, we're a little behind on the seasons, and I've recently seen the ending of season 15. I love listening to you discussing the show, and a lot of the times you give me some clarity on what's going on, like slang, or when there's some underlying meaning to what they're talking about. We also don't get after parties, so I love when you fill in information from there. Keep up the good work. See, I mean, you guys are just so lovely. Like, you took the time out to tell us this all the way from Sweden, too. Thank you so, so much. For that message. And it's a little unfair that people get maps but not after party. That's a lot of context when you get to season 17.
I know, right? So I'm a very insular thinking person. So I'm like, oh my gosh, all the way from Sweden, you're watching this American nonsense.
It started in what, Denmark?
Yeah.
Right, the first one? Yeah, so, you know, closer. Closer to them. But speaking of Sweden, though, a couple of episodes ago, a few of you, like, kind of encouraged to watch Love is Blind Sweden. Finally got through it. And I just wanted to mention, like, some overlapping maths tropes that happened. One, Love is Blind Sweden is how you do it when you're not really sure how you feel about the person and you're still going to give it a chance without being a little insulting, even though we can all tell that you're not really into it, but you're still trying. Everyone needs to go watch that and learn how to do it. Two, I just really thought because it was Sweden, there'll be like a uber attractive cast. That was not the case. But wow. That's just me. That's just me. I was nice, Aid. And there's also a masterclass on how to introduce dogs to each other. So, you know, that happened in maths, did not end well. In this case, there was a gut feeling. It was in an open place in a park. There were leashes on, and one of the owners were like, you know, I don't think today's the right day. I know my dog, and I don't think this is going to work out. But they eventually got there. And also, the reunion is also another masterclass. It is not done in front of an audience. Every single topic was asked, respectfully so, and even the surprises were on there. There was also a baby situation a la Chris and Paige that happened during filming and was solved during the reunion and all that kind of stuff. So there was just a lot of similarities between MAFS and Love is Blind Sweden that kind of heightened the experience for me. But I actually would recommend. So if anyone's thinking about it, on Netflix, go watch.
I am waiting. I mean, I have to be, I'm not going to read subtitles, but I know that they are doing Love is Blind UK because I remember them announcing it. And I am waiting with bated breath because I can't wait to watch an international franchise. If they could do Australia, I hate to be so Nigeria, any English speaking country, that would be good. But I'm really glad that you guys recommended Sweden to Tane and she loved it so much.
And what you're going to get, I'll just say it now because I think a bunch of people are going to say, oh, you can watch the dubbed version where you don't have to read captions. People are speaking in English over for you. That's just not my preference. I'd rather read captions than watch mouths that are not matching.
You know, that's why I can't watch dubbed things because the mouth moving doesn't. Oh, it happens sometimes when the editing goes wrong on like a regular TV show, and I always notice it immediately.
Yeah, and I gotta stop and start over. But that being said, are you committing to covering Love is Blind UK?
Oh, yeah.
In front of all and sundry? I'm just gonna say this now. I don't have high hopes. Except for Love Island, the UK. They're working on it. I tried watching Survivor UK, and two episodes in, I quit. But they just, I don't know, they just don't have the formula. I thought their maths was boring. So we'll see. So we're committing. We're going to watch it. But for your record, there is an Ultimatum South Africa coming out soon. Just FYI. Oh. Not saying we should cover. Ultimatum is not your favorite, but.
I'm not committing to that. But yeah, good to know.
Just letting you know. All right, guys, enough chit-chat. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back to dive into this episode.
Life doesn't happen bi-weekly, so why should payday? The money you make can be in your hands today with EarnIn. EarnIn is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work, up to $100 per day or up to $750 per pay period. Just download the EarnIn app and verify your paycheck. Then access up to $100 a day as you work and leave an optional tip. Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck. Summer is coming and it is time for all of us to go on vacation. You can use the money you earn from EarnIn to buy a new bathing suit or some new clothes for your fun summer vacation.
Download EarnIn today, spelled EARNIN, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the EarnIn app, type in AltaCall on the podcast. When you sign up, it'll really help the show. That's AltaCall on the podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank & Trust, member FDIC. Ladies, you know that vicious week before your period where you feel like you want to crawl out of your skin, you feel a little bit down or off, and those cravings when you feel like you could eat anything in sight? Well, there's a solution for that. Now it's easier to manage your PMS with Estro Control.
You have to try Hormone Harmony. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality. And it shows. For a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code ALTERCALLMAFS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code ALTARCALLMAFS for 15% off today.
If you're like me and looking to cut back on alcohol this year, Reese's Zero Proof Craft Mocktails are the perfect alcohol replacement. They've recreated the cocktails you know and love, like their Ginger Lime Mule and Grapefruit Paloma, which happen to be my favorites. You can enjoy the flavors and feelings of those cocktails without the booze. Zero proof, zero compromise. Listeners can get 15% of the Reese's Mocktail Sampler at takearecess.com/autocallmafs.
You guys know I don't drink very much, so Reese's is a great substitute while everybody else imbibes. It's a lightly sparkling mocktail infused with functional ingredients like uplifting guayusa and stress-balancing adaptogens. Whether you're relaxing after work or hanging out with friends, make Reese's Mocktails your drink between drinks or your forever mocktail. Get 15% off Reese's Mocktails now at takearecess.com/altercallmafs so you can enjoy your favorite cocktails without the consequences. And we're back to the where are they now? The only thing that I have appreciation for is that Where Are They Now was like 3 episodes last season. But thanks to Chloe and Michael, basically it was only 1 episode this season. And I really appreciated that.
You think it's because of Chloe? I think it's because they just hate each other. And this episode was really just, how can we address the online chatter without saying that we're addressing the online chatter?
And I don't even think they address the online chatter in that much depth or that well.
Yes, I agree. But it could also be because they hate each other, because ideally we should be having a party where everybody comes together, but they hate each other. So they should have just scrapped this episode.
They really should have. Like, they couldn't. First off, at this stage of the game, and I'm glad everybody recognized this, there's no reason for these people to be in the same room. So they didn't try to force it, or maybe they did try to force it and were unsuccessful. But then they threw this episode together of just random meetups everywhere. Mm-hmm. I did wonder, like, how long was the shot over? Because I'd probably say like a week or two, no more than.
Yeah. But we don't know. So I know they kept saying it was 9 months after decision day, but we don't know how long after the reunion. Right?
Right. So decision day, because I was floating. So decision day was in April. And then now I have to count 9 months. So April is the 4th month. This should be like November, but I thought they shot the reunion in December. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so yeah, I'm with you. We have no idea how long after.
I just always wonder how they get them to agree to keep filming, especially after a reunion that was so contentious. Like, I'd be like, tap me out, coach. I'm not doing this with these people anymore. Like, are they paying them good money? If they are, how much is it? Like, is it in their contract? Like, how?
Some people were more participatory than others. So... that I feel like they get what they get out of people. It's not much sometimes. Mm. So we start with Claire coming over to Lauren. I don't know why, but they just seemed really happy to be back on camera.
That's really what inspired my thought. I'm just like, for people who are like, I never want to remember this again. We had bad matches. We don't want this. They just seem happy to be doing this.
They're making espresso martinis. I think Claire brought tequila over to help. Claire says that a lot has changed. She's got a new job. She's working with adolescents. And Lawrence says there's a newfound brightness. Claire says there's a newfound brightness to her life. Lauren talks about progression and how they've all progressed. And they talk a little bit about the reunion. And Claire says that it was a wild time to see Cameron and the things that he said. And Lauren said she was flabbergasted. Claire says the cheating thing. He wasn't in the apartment. You had no idea what I was up to, and you weren't communicating with me. And I was like, well, that's very different from I wasn't cheating. That sounded like whatever I was doing wasn't cheating because we had no relationship. Mm-hmm. Lauren says that what Cameron wants to say is none of Claire's business. And Lauren says, just let him yap. He'll yap himself into a hole. Then Claire drops the big news, which is not news to Lauren. She already knows. This is news to us, I guess. That she's seeing someone else. And Lauren asked if the new guy has a title. And Claire basically says that they made it official. In an interview, Claire tells us that he lives in Seattle. They don't really know how it's going to look like in the near future, but they're enjoying each other's presence. Lauren asks if he's moving. Claire says he's mentioned it, but she doesn't want to put any pressure. Lauren has met him. He's a sweetheart. And Claire says that Lauren is a good judge of character. With Tane, we just want to know what this man looks like.
For a brief second, which is something I wonder for all of them, I was like, does he exist? But I know he exists because they've met him and all that stuff. But it was just for 1 second.
Claire asked Lauren if she talked to O'Liar. I'm not going to lie. That was quite funny. Is it wrong? Yes, but it is funny. Lauren says that she hasn't talked to him since the reunion, and hearing him spew the narrative that she's an angry person. This is where I need stories to match. Am I crazy? But did they edit that out? Like, in the 4 hours of the reunion, I don't remember Orion saying that, which doesn't mean he didn't say it, but it did make the cut.
Yeah. So that was the other thing. Like, the only reason why it kind of made sense and we can lean towards maybe it was edited out was when he asked for the divorce. That was one of the reasons he asked for, where he was saying that he grew up in a home where there was always, I don't know, bickering or yelling or something. And it seems like when she gets upset, basically it's been mentioned before, but we didn't see it in the reunion, but it's not beyond believability that it did happen and they cut it out. I don't know. But who knows if she's referring to the reunion or maybe before that? I don't know.
She talks about how she's not really into sustaining a friendship because it's a burden and she does most of the work anyway. And that basically he's a nothing in her life, which is exactly what he should be considering the length of time that they were associated. Claire repeats Lauren's line from the reunion that people can only meet you as far as they've met themselves. Claire asks about, basically Lauren says that because of this experience, she's open to possibilities, and Claire is asking Lauren if she's dating anybody, and she's still giving her answers that maybe she is, maybe she isn't, maybe she's dating 5 people, who knows? Michael goes to his regular tattoo shop, it appears, explains the design. It's an angel crying. It's about, I was really scared that it was going to be a Married at First Sight tattoo. And I was very grateful that instead it connects to other and more important things in his life, like his dad and his uncle who he lost suddenly. And also that you don't know what people are going through. You guys, I don't have any tattoos. I'm no expert in tattoos. But I'm just like, but if the tattoo is on your back and you don't see it, I guess you look in the mirror. Like, doesn't it lose some meaning if you can't see it all the time? But just, that's just me.
No, that's just you. No, it doesn't. I mean, if he doesn't have real estate space, and then he can see it in the mirror. And it doesn't lose its meaning. You just know it's on there.
Okay.
I was just more impressed by how he was able to talk the whole time.
Wow, this is why I don't have a tattoo. I have just graduated into, like, not doing dramatics when getting a shot. Like, I'm proud of myself when I go in. They give me the shot, no muss, no fuss. Like, there used to be a whole, like, hold on a second, wait a second, wait a second. Oh, I got to come back. Okay, all right. And then we'd finally do this. I can't sit there and get a tattoo. It's really unfortunate because I think it might be a cool thing to do. I think one day I might get over it, but no time soon.
Yeah, he didn't even flinch or anything. And I have a tattoo, and it is painful, but I have a high tolerance. But when it comes to shading, which I think was happening on him, that is so painful when it's being shaded. And he was just like, and I this, and I that, and I this, and I that. And I was like, yeah, Michael, you're a pro, but props to you for that.
So the tattoo artist is clearly, you know, we can look at Michael's body and see that he has a long time relationship with probably this tattoo artist and maybe some others. But so the tattoo artist is like, so what about the wedding and the marriage? And he says it didn't work out, which I'm sure the tattoo artist already knew. I mean, from what Michael is saying, he and Chloe don't really speak, but they talked at the reunion. And in fairness, he says that she didn't come at him crazy at the reunion, but they just talked about stuff. And they may have different perspectives. And if they're misaligned, there's a level of accountability. And yeah. He says that they had a moment and he thanked her for being honest. I really should have learned the tattoo artist's name considering this was a long scene, but I didn't. So Michael tells the tattoo artist that he's not avoiding dating, but if it happens, it happens. And he needs to focus on what he's saying to make sure that he's paying attention to things and not saying the wrong thing so it can't be misinterpreted. And the tattoo artist says, we're always learning. It's all about growth. And I'm like, you sure we're made for this damn show where that's all we talk about?
Those words in this episode, growth, accountability, optics, learning about myself, moving forward. And I think why this episode was a little annoying, it was just like a repetition of everything we've heard in the reunion and the episode that aired after Decision Day or whatever, where everyone is saying about all the lessons learned. And it's just getting tiring because this is not the first time we've had Michael say that.
Him and everybody else, super repetitive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So Chloe meets up with Cesar. I like Cesar. Cesar was like very much kind of a big character on this episode. Maybe I was just happy to see somebody else new.
No, he was here to move things along. He understood the assignments and he did what he had to do.
So they sit down and talk, and Chloe says, you know, Cesar says, how was the reunion and where are they? And she says she thinks it was cathartic. Cesar asks if she resents Michael. She says she's grateful and that she has a beautiful friendship with all the men. And this developed in a time when she wasn't feeling loved or valued or supported by the other women. And Cesar says they have a sorority and you were never part of it. Because, you know, this is not the first time they've had this conversation. Mm-hmm. And she says, oh, I haven't shared any of the chaos happening. And then they give us a little cliffhanger because the food comes. And we got to admire the food before we can get to the chaos. Cesar asks if the reunion was dramatic. And Chloe said she was waiting for Jerry Springer to come back from the dead. That was funny. She says it was out of control. She was embarrassed. It was very disappointing. Cesar's like, oh, so I see some stuff on the internet. People were accusing Chloe of stealing other people's husbands. She says there's something about the concept of her being a harlot stealing husband that is a projection of the character of the people putting that out there. So in the interview, the producer, like us, is trying to get some clarity and is like, so when you're talking about people putting stuff out there, are you talking about the other women? And she says, yes. Back to Cesar, she says she thinks there are a couple of burner accounts out there. She's not going to engage. She's capable of being friends with everybody. And if that's threatening for the people around her, that's a problem. Don't come for her integrity. Cesar, he says that he heard about one of the wives going after Michael. And Chloe says what started with Lauren and Orion not being well matched and then him having a runaway bride, it created a couple. And Lauren felt like she should investigate. So Cesar asks how Chloe feels about it. And she says she wishes Lauren the best in all of her endeavors, but she knows where her loyalties lie. And Thank Frankenstein a quote in where Cesar says, after all, he was your husband. But I don't believe he said that at that moment. That's one of my favorite Mask games is like, I don't think that happened then.
Why not? I think he flowed in the conversation. She said she forgets that he knows where his loyalty lies. And then he's like, yeah, because he was your husband first.
I don't think it happened like that. It's purely, I have no reason to think that maybe, but I feel like that was Frankenstein.
I wish that she went into detail of what happened behind the scenes. And is it behind the scenes of the season, behind the scenes of the reunion? Like, what are the things that are going on? I just wish there was more in depth about what happened.
I think all of these things happened before the reunion, which creates more confusion because she seemed okay with at least Emily at the reunion. Was that not really the case?
I'm really not trying to cause anything because I don't trust my memory. I feel like Chloe and Emily showed as a mutual follower. But when I look again, Emily's not a follower anymore of Chloe. And I don't know if it's because of the episode that aired, but yeah, I don't want anybody quoting, but this is what my memory recalls. And if that's not the case, so be it. But that is what I recall. It was like, I thought I saw Emily and I was like, okay, things are not that bad. They're still following each other. But I went back to make sure and I don't see that they're following each other anymore. But also, that episode just aired on Wednesday, and I can see why there would be an unfollow.
Do you believe that there was a burner account and that one of the Pink Squad did it?
I don't know, but we mentioned it last week. Someone mentioned that they have proof in the Facebook group chats that Emily and Claire seem to have those accounts and have been talking shit. So, I don't know. I think it's possible.
I think it's very odd that those accounts would go after Chloe.
Why do you think it's odd?
They have so much smoke for their husbands. I am very surprised that they had time to spare for anybody else.
She's not with, like, the one thing some strategy people have in competitive reality shows, if you're not with me, even though you haven't done anything to me, then you must be against me.
Wow.
So maybe the thought is, and also a lot of shit went down though. Like when we get later down to what Lauren was saying about Chloe being irate and they unfollowed each other, their solidarity will always be with Lauren over Chloe. My hope is that it's not true. But after everything, I can't definitively say nothing is impossible. Like, even for Claire, that her job is a psycho. Like, I would hope not.
Nothing is impossible. But Chloe was so confident to come here and say, this is what happened. And I know this is what happened. And I know who's behind it. I was like, I really, really, really hope that you have some really, really solid proof about this. I wouldn't take anything besides a confession from the perpetrator, but that's just me.
Well, somebody in the comments said they had proof and they've been trying to send it to Mass Fan, but I don't know if Mass Fan is just like, I'm not getting into this mess. I don't want it. But
I'm with Mass Fan. I wouldn't want to be in it either.
So, yeah. I don't know. Let there be love, guys. It's not just a show. I know it's their real life, but I really do hope for healing, like Chloe said, for everyone.
Do I hope for healing? Yes. I'm tired of all of them. Let's just put it like that. So Michael, Orion, and Austin go out together. Call me crazy, but like Orion might have even had short hair at the reunion and I didn't notice, but this is the first time I'm noticing Orion's short hair.
He did not have short hair at the reunion.
So this is the premiere of the short hair.
Besides after party?
Yes.
Yes, I believe so. Because even though it behooves me to give him a compliment, was like, wow, he looks so much better with short hair. But by the reunion, I didn't notice that. So I don't think he had.
which meant they were still doing after parties. They must have done after parties for a long time after the reunion, because I recall it was one of the earlier after parties that Orion had short hair.
We have no answers for this show.
None. Anyway, they go to a place that I guess is Michael's spot, because Michael says that this was one of the places he hangs out weekly, and he didn't get to hang out with the guys as much because of, you know, how everything happened. And Orion tells them that he wants to invite them to an event with an instructor who does Reiki healing and a cacao moon ceremony. I notice Austin has a fully grown beard again. So however long it's been since the reunion, time enough for Austin to grow a beard.
I mean, it doesn't take him long. He's hairy. 2 days, tops. By the time he shaved it for the reunion, he already had like a shadow by by the hour in.
Austin asks if it's a chocolate moon ceremony. And I was like, I guess that's probably what it is. Orion asks how they feel after the reunion. Austin says that he thinks Becca and he came out in a better spot, even though she doesn't want to talk to him for a couple years. He still wants to remain friends. And the only reason, I'm not even saying it to be shady, it's just human nature. He just wants to be friends so that he can continue to be Mr. Good Guy. If they're not friends, he's not a good guy. And that's the only reason he wants to hang out with Becca.
I mean, that's pretty much the MO of guys. They do you dirty, then they want to be friends, because if we're friends, then whatever I did is not that bad. So he's on track. That's, well, 99% of guys.
I love Becca for being like not participating. Michael says that whatever was driving Austin, it was all informed by the purest intentions, and he appreciated his mentality. It was very complimentary. I don't know if it was really deserved. Orion says that he felt like he hurt Lauren, and he's trying to reconcile something, and Michael says we romanticize being friends, and it's too challenging to foster. Smart thing for him to say, which is basically, Orion, you're not going to be friends with Lauren. Move along. Orion talks more about making him a better person, accountability, and how he regrets not moving in. Okay.
I don't care. I don't believe anything he's saying. I just think he says what he thinks he's supposed to say. He should just go away. Like, no. You were very firm in your, I don't want to be with this. I can't sustain this. Oh, she talks too loud and blah, blah, blah. I don't want that in my relationship. I can't get past. I will be betraying my community. Now, all of a sudden, you regret not moving. Get the fuck out of here. I have Amen, no time sister. For Orion. None.
Amen. I'm actually annoyed a little bit that Michael does have time for Orion. Because he's like, oh, this speaks to your evolution. I was like,
You know, Michael is a pacifist.
That is true. That is very true. Orion says he still wants to have a conversation with Lauren. Converse about what? Austin says sometimes it doesn't work out. No kidding. Emily and Claire go to a bar, sushi bar, eat some sushi. Emily says that Claire saw Brennan for who he was early on. And Emily refers to, I think she's saying Brennan, saying that he watched the show and that he knew a cheat code, and basically refers to Brennan and Cameron as Dumb and Dumber. And Emily says, we are happy, healthy, healing, and looking hot.
Oh my God.
The juxtaposition. Emily says she hopes people don't think that we're like dwelling on the past and like,
oh,
these men
down. Oh, why would we think that?
In an interview, she said, Brenda put her through hell, and most people do think I'm cute.
There's a very strong emphasis and repetition about being hot, being an 8.5, being the, and I'm like, okay.
The part that, like, I can't seem to understand why she can't understand, I am not going to disagree with her. She's cute. I don't know about 8.5, but she's cute. But if being cute was all it took to make a relationship work, then yeah, you'd have it made. But it takes more than that. So mm-hmm. why are you so fixated on this?
That's where it becomes very high schoolish, because everything is focused on you're hot, you're cute, who'd never talk to you. If I saw you in a bar, you're not on my level, you know, my this. And I'm like, that was what we thought when we were younger, that it was just a looks thing. But you're older now. So
are you though?
Well, I mean,
Claire says that she's moving on, really, really. And they just talk about how wonderfully close they are. Claire talks about her healing journey. She says that Emily's healing journey is processing the past. What processing? And then Emily talks about Claire's new man, and she's happy for her, and she approves. Claire asks if she's dating. Emily used her standard line. If she wanted a boyfriend, she could have it. But you've never had it before, so I don't think that's true.
But she wanted to be married, but she never wanted a boyfriend. Got it?
I don't even know. Yeah. So it's just the two of them are nonsense.
And Claire doesn't let people talk. She doesn't let Emily just get it out. Like, she's trying to say things and she's trying to fill in the gaps for Emily. And I'm like, just let her say what she wants to say.
Emily has this weird sing-songy voice going sometimes. I'm not sure if it's because she's been drinking. But she talks about how, just like with Claire, it'll happen when you least expect it, and dating someone will come along. Something to that effect. Mm-hmm. Next we go to Chloe. She's with her dogs. She calls Michael. These two, I just want to be really, really clear. These two have not spoken since the reunion. Before the reunion, they had stopped speaking long before that. So they are just speaking for the purposes of the show, but they sure do a lot of speaking and hanging out on this episode.
Wait, did I miss it? Did they mention that they haven't spoken?
Yes.
But we also don't know how long it's been since the reunion that they filmed. Like, it could literally be 2 weeks, right?
But before the reunion, they weren't speaking then either.
That's interesting. I mean, I think that's changed. They're hanging out with each other now.
Oh, okay. Like in the current, yeah.
Yeah, in the current stratosphere. So it didn't even occur to me, I missed it, where they said they haven't even been speaking. Because he just had like a charity event and she was there and supporting. They have pictures of each other and all that stuff. So, okay.
We'll go through this episode because I'm like, oh, did this reunion bring them together? She says she's putting together a volunteer day at the Broken Shovel, which is the same place that she and Michael went to during the season. And she's going to check with the other husbands and see if they are up to it. Michael meets up with Lauren and Claire.
Oh, I'm sorry. I had something to say about that conversation. The only thing that bothered me during that whole conversation, and I still feel the same way about Chloe, like, she's in a Hallmark movie, but I guess after how many weeks, this is just how she is. I don't think I've just ever encountered someone like that, the way they converse and the way they talk. But anyways, the thing that bothered me was, like, during the conversation, she had what I think were tulips in the vase that had no water. And I don't know much about flowers. And I'm like, do they not need water? Do we just put flowers in there in the vase without water?
That's fake?
What bothered me. No, it didn't look fake. No, it looked like a healthy bouquet, fresh, that was in there. So there were either tulips or roses that hadn't fully budded yet or whatever. All I know was there was no water. And that really bothered me. And I kept staring at it, pausing, rewinding, trying to see, like, are they supposed to survive without water? So all you people out there who know about these things, please let me know, because it really bothered me for some reason, as you were.
If I am home, I like to buy flowers so that I can enjoy them. And I'm going to be home for a bit. And so I went to Trader Joe's yesterday to go buy some flowers. I went too late in the day, completely picked over. Kind of ruined my day. There was no flowers for me. Might try again today. Michael meets up with Lauren and Claire.
I went to Trader Joe's, but I went for snacks. So that's why I'm laughing.
I mean, I went for snacks too, but I also wanted my flowers. So Michael meets up with Lauren and Claire. It seems fine. Michael says he's in extending an olive branch because he wants to see how they can coexist. I don't know when he says they. Does he mean him and the girls or the guys and the girls? Is he like an emissary? I don't know what. He tells him about the new tattoo, and Claire says they want to get matching tattoos. And she basically explains the four of them want to get matching tattoos. And he shows them the crying angel, and they're like, oh, it's so nice. And apparently one time in after party, Lauren said that she liked his earrings. So he brought her the earring that she liked. Claire, in an interview, says that Lauren is flirtatious. And they are, like, flirting, Michael and Lauren? I thought so, too. Mm-hmm. Claire tells Michael that she met someone. Claire asks Michael if he's dating. And then Michael and Lauren have a little chit-chat about how the internet wants them to date. And his friends say, why didn't they match you with Lauren? Lauren's like, yeah, but by the time, you know, you got ran away from, we weren't strangers. Like, the premise doesn't work, basically. Lauren says that her family also asked why Michael wasn't her match. And Michael's like, your dad too? And she's like, not my dad, because he would prefer if I wasn't matched with anybody. That was also pretty amusing. And Lauren says none of the fans actually asked what we wanted. In an interview, Michael says that he thinks Lauren is great, but he doesn't know what that would look like. Game recognizes game in another mass universe. Basically, not interested. And I wonder if Lauren is even interested too, or if they're just having fun with it.
Exactly. And the two things that struck when Michael was saying the whole, I don't know what that would look like, she's great, she's whatever. I think I would, after watching them this long, I would now kill to have Michael just say something directly and say exactly what it is that he means. And do you think it's weird that in the entire time we never saw Michael get annoyed by anything? Is that even normal?
I don't know if normal is the right word. I don't think it's unusual to not be annoyed, I would say.
For 8 weeks? And for someone who got dumped?
I have to think about it. Because I'm like, didn't Michael get annoyed?
When?
During the reunion, when Chloe said that stuff about how basically I wish you would have read my mind. He was annoyed. He was a little bit annoyed with Chloe. And some of the things that she brought up, he was clear, like the last name thing and he was annoyed.
Okay. I think the closest to annoyance for me was when Becca called him conflict avoidant, and he made like some passive aggressive, even though that's what you think, your diagnosis, but he didn't. But anyways, back to Lauren and Michael. My thoughts were, I don't know that they're doing anything wrong per se. All I know is I didn't like it. I don't know how to describe, I can't say definitively, oh, you're doing anything wrong. But it's also hard not to look at it in the lens of if that was being done to Emily or to Claire or whatever, they would not feel happy about it. They would be like, oh, you're not supporting the sisterhood or anything. And even Claire says they are being flirty and they're both being flirty. So, like I said, I don't think they were doing anything particularly wrong. But I didn't like it, whatever was happening.
Interesting. I mean, I feel like these relationships might grow with time. We definitely see former cast members who become close, who become friends. But life is too short to be like, oh, I wouldn't get with one of the exes from Married at First Sight to preserve my relationship with the other, with the cast member who they were originally matched with. I just don't think it's worth it.
I understand that. I'm just saying, like, through the lens of if that was done to Emily or if that was done to Becca, would they have the same reaction? That's what I can't disassociate from. In general, life is too short. If nobody wants anybody, yeah, go ahead, go do it. But if the whole messaging has been support or whatever, if someone right now started, if Becca decided she wanted to go for Brennan or whatever, I don't think they would receive it like, oh, you know, you do you. We don't want each other. No.
My mind is actually a little bit blown. I never thought of it this way.
So that's my only thing, is that it just seems a little hypocritical. Like, it's okay for them to do it for Chloe. Like, yeah, it's fine. But if it's anyone, then it might not be. So, yeah, that's my only thing.
Okay. Becca meets up with Lindsay, who's her friend, who we saw her with a lot during the season. They just talk about how Lindsay was supported her. How does she feel? Process. How she felt during her relationship with Austin. There was just nothing new here. Lindsay seems like a great friend. Of course, Becca is like, she was hoping for a life partner, but instead she got a life lesson. Something that Becca talks about that I did find interesting was she said to Lindsay that it's hard not to feel like she let people down, and that the viewers can look back and be like, if you did this, if you did that. And it's so funny because I'm like, I don't think there's a single viewer out there who believes that. Like, I think all of us watching are like, girl, you tried. The man didn't. I mean, I think we mostly blame Austin for this not working. At least, Becca, reassure yourself. You don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, but I think for me, I also, this is something else I wish they delved in, and which is my complaint, where the ladies say they're taking accountability, but I don't know that I've heard specifics. I've said this before, so I'm a broken record. So when she said that, I was curious to know, what are the ways Becca thinks that she showed up? She said she showed up in a bad way. What are the bad ways she thinks that she showed up? I would have been curious to hear that directly from the horse's mouth, because we've never actually heard specifics. Like, even with Emily, if all the things, I could be better, I could grow, but what are the things that you think you did badly? Because on our end, even for Emily, she did try. Like, all the signs were there, but she still wanted, well, Brennan says she held him hostage, but to me, I thought she was trying. But what are the ways that you could have done better? Even for Claire, for all of the things that we've said, what are the things that you think that you could have done better? I don't think we've ever had that.
I'm going to be real honest. Becca probably feels that way. I don't think Claire or Emily could ever confront that question, because in their minds, they are blameless. Which is for all this learning and growth that people claim that they're doing, it's not real for a lot of them.
It's just words. I found the conversation Becca had with her friend refreshing, because it seems constructive. So far, when the girls meet up and everyone talks about, there's a little bit of bashing, little bit of growth, little bit of everything that we've heard, but this was like, that we've heard before, but this was the first time that it was a conversation that seemed like with a friend that's not necessarily fueled by the trauma they shared and the groupthink. It's by like someone who actually cares for her, and they talk about everything in a healthy way, so to speak. Just wanted to put that out there.
You mean they talk without talking? Like, there's no hatred of Austin at all in that conversation.
Just like the focus is on Becca.
Exactly. And this conversation could not happen, I feel like, with the other woman. Maybe with Lauren, but definitely not with Claire and Emily.
Yeah.
So.
But speaking of, where are Lauren's friends? I wish the ones we met in the beginning, the funny ones who had the jokes, and the thoughts and the things. Yes. Yes. Where are these people? Why is she stuck with these people? That sounds bad. I just meant these people, like, where you get consumed in whatever this is. Because every now and then when they get into their stuff, I think, like, you see Lauren, and I know some people said, like, we're making excuses for Lauren, but you see Lauren kind of step out and is like, you know, maybe we should think about it this way. And even at the reunion, where she's like, you know, just let it go. I mean, she has her moments when she says, like, these men are hideous inside and out. But she always has moments where she's kind of like, all right, guys, then try to back out of this thing. But it would have been really nice to see her with those people that we met in the beginning.
Who, yeah. It would be really nice. Any opportunity actually to see the women with other people who are not each other, I think would be quite great. Except for we saw Emily with the therapist later this episode, and that wasn't actually good.
No, it was not, bruh.
So let's not get ahead of ourselves. No, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Orion, Michael, and Austin go to a full moon ceremony. Orion explains that in his culture, they don't have full moon ceremonies, but they do go out and pray during full moons. So we have Sarah, the spiritual life coach. It looks like a yoga studio, and they have, you know, the blankets and the mats, and she talks about how they're gathering at the full moon to tap into natural cycles. It seemed pretty nice. It was another opportunity for them to rehash the same things. Learning, growth, good intentions, wanting a life partner, not succeeding. That was the discussion that was had at the full moon ceremony. There was a nice sound bath. But yeah, that was it. I would also hazard a guess that it's not something Austin has done before, but I could definitely see Orion as part of his culture, and Michael, because I feel like he's just the type of person who does these type of things, have done this before, but definitely a first time for Austin.
Which just reminds me that we never spoke about his religion at the reunion, and specifically that his best friend says, I never heard this man talk about religion until now. So, I don't know. This season needs to go. I keep remembering things that were not brought up and I'm like getting mad all over again.
I'm glad that's the stuff you're... meanwhile, I'm like, as part of this moon ceremony, there was something about how an indigenous Guatemalan woman had made the cacao. I was like, how much was she compensated for that? those are things I'm interested in. How do you fly it? Did you fly it in from Guatemala or can you just buy it here? So many questions.
Isn't that the same thing that the ladies had at the Beverly Hills premiere?
Yeah, and I think they got shit for that too.
Because I've seen it in a couple of other reality shows. I didn't know it was like a big deal.
Which part? The cacao?
Yeah.
Oh.
This is my first time hearing that it's actually like a whole... thing. I didn't know.
So this was the time where you felt like you were provided a better explanation of what exactly was going on instead of just the regular reality TV of it all. Mm-hmm. Okay. So next up is Chloe's shoveling hands. Is that right? Next up is Chloe's day at the farm. We see some of her friends and then one by one, Orion, Brennan, Michael, and Cameron all arrive. Chloe has pulled off a miracle because I'm like, this whole episode, these men have not come together, but Chloe has brought them together to do some volunteer work. And it seems like everybody has a good time. Cesar is there to, you know, stir some shit up a little bit. Cesar asks Orion if pushing a wheelbarrow is easier than being married. Mind you, Cesar is like pulling the wheelbarrow. Orion is not doing much there. And I was like, is this like a joke? Like asking him if this is easier than being married? Of course it is, because there's not much work involved. Cameron asks how Brennan has been, and he says life is good. He's got a girlfriend. It was very clear to me that Brennan and Cameron showed up to say the least, like to do the least. I mean, in terms of actual volunteering, I probably think they did plenty. But in terms of like, content for this TV show, they were like, how can we just do the very, very least?
Which is surprising to me when it comes to Cameron. Brandon, I can see. He's just over this whole shit and he wants to be done. But Cameron, I kind of got the vibe like he likes being in the spotlight and all that stuff. So that was surprising to me.
Talking of Cameron, he's talking about how he might move to Puerto Rico for tax benefits.
Which sounds shady. Like...
This was a whole thing in the Noelle and Sweet Baby James thing on Orange County, this whole moving to Puerto Rico for tax benefits.
I know, this whole Puerto Rico thing. There's another contestant from the past, from Big Brother, who has been accused of shady stuff, which is why my mind went to shady stuff. And I don't know what's true or not, but Bailey and his name is Chris. I forget. He goes by another name. I forget. But they used to live in Kansas, and then they moved to Puerto Rico. He does all this crypto kind of stuff or whatever. And they moved to Puerto Rico, and everyone starts saying, like, oh, he moved there for some reasons. And then all of a sudden, now they moved to Dubai, and then they were supposed to be in Dallas. Like, they just keep moving, but all I know is Puerto Rico was one of them. And once Cameron says, oh, there are tax benefits, I was like, is this shady stuff? In my mind, Cameron is a cult leader anyway, so he's going there to start his cult. So
the people of Puerto Rico have suffered enough. They do not need Cameron there.
They do not. They do not.
Cameron, in an effort to stir some shit, create some content, asks Chloe if she can see the other wives out here in the pig pen. Is that supposed to be like a value statement? Because I'll tell you right now, you're not going to find me out in a pig pen either.
It was a definitely choice of words, which I thought was rude. Again, with Cameron, unnecessary. You're telling them to move on, but practice what you preach, maybe?
Practice what you preach, but I really can't fault any. If the guys want to come and talk shit about the women, as much as I'm like, you shouldn't, I also get why you would, because they know the women are doing it to them, and it's true, they are. So this is also Chloe's opportunity to talk about how she hasn't spoken to the women. They went their separate ways many moons ago. So once again, how long ago was the reunion when you were telling Emily advice on how to handle herself? Cameron says that makes three of us. Chloe says her life improved when she removed herself from the women. And Brennan says the reunion exposed who they truly were. Cameron says that the energy that they're putting in online comments shows their intentions. And Cameron knows that there are comments directed towards Chloe that are unnecessary. And he talks about the burner account on Facebook. Brennan says most of them are 30 or above, and it feels like mean girl behavior. And if you're going to be a mean girl, you're not ready for marriage or a relationship. Chloe says she's felt more empowered to take them off social media. They don't exist in her world. Cameron says they're toxic. Chloe said she would rather be... with the guys, and then according to the burner account, she's entered in to steal them all, and she can't roll her eyes hard enough at the psychosis. Cameron says that it's been going on for a while, but still to this moment, they have to get in and make nasty online comments, and that the other husbands and Chloe are moving on. Look, I'm sure you are, but in this moment, you really aren't. Mm-hmm. Cesar, why Cesar was a favorite, was this conversation with Austin. Because Cesar's like, are you reading the comments? and Austin says that someone said that he looked like Ted Bundy if he had zero sex appeal. Oddly enough, I don't know what Ted Bundy looks like.
There's a whole thing about Ted Bundy being cute and people fangirling for him, and then they got like Zac Efron to play him and all that stuff, so.
Like, I knew that Ted Bundy was attractive, and that's part of the reason why he was able to, like, kill so many people, is because they were like, oh, you're cute, you know, pretty privilege. But I think the part that I don't get is Ted Bundy, the central part is that he was cute. So how can you say he looked like Ted Bundy without the sex appeal? The sex appeal was the point.
Well, it made sense. But go ahead.
Cesar talks about like the sex and how, you know, Michael was so comfortable just talking about it and Austin is not. Austin says he had trouble with his family watching him talk about their sex life. He didn't want to go into graphic detail. He's like, I've seen the comments that I have erectile dysfunction. I'm a repressed Christian. I did see the repressed Christian comment. And he's like, I'm not. It's not true. I'm just a normal dude who likes to build a foundation with a woman before crossing that barrier. Cesar asks if he was a virgin. We don't really get an answer. They just laugh. Just saying. I didn't hear a no.
I mean, he wasn't doing himself any favors because he keeps talking about the whole camera thing, but how about off camera, Austin? Because he called it an obstacle. But then he also called the having sex a barrier. So not doing himself any favors.
Not a one. Not a one. So Michael and Chloe have like a one-on-one conversation. Chloe is very, very is a strong word, but she is flirty.
With Michael?
Yeah. Am I the only one who sees this?
No, I'm saying with Michael, like to clarify that it's not like she's flirty with everyone.
Yes, yes, she's flirty with Michael in this interaction. I think in most of their interactions on this
episode. Yeah. I think in general, they do have some kind of chemistry.
Michael does like a cute little thing with his jacket where he takes it off. And Chloe asks if she considers them divorced. And Chloe says that she's proud of them for being mature and navigating. She's like, maybe this is how divorce is supposed to be. Just like two adults being nice to each other and being a positive presence in each other's lives. Some people on Reddit got real mad at her for this comment.
What comment?
They were like, the comment about maybe this is how divorce is supposed to be. They're like, you were married for 8 weeks. You don't have kids. You don't have property. You don't have any of the difficulties that go with being divorced. So why are you trying to tell us how to be divorced? I didn't think it was that deep.
I mean, when you touch a nerve, you know, different people are sensitive to different things.
So they continue their like very nice conversation. And Michael basically asks her out to hang out. And he says that he will pick her up. I don't think Chloe likes to drive or she lives far. One of the two. And she's like, oh, you're going to pick me up? I'm all in.
So we need to add Chloe and Michael as the second divorced couple in MAFS to be friends?
Sure do. Kristen and Shaq broke the seal.
Yeah. So now my only thing with this conversation, first of all, I think Brennan and Cameron showing up, that had to be production-led because it just seemed very choosing sides and whatever it was, where I felt like Chloe has been neutral all along, but I think her gloves are off and she very much chose a side. And I was just also reminded that they really did get robbed of the experience. I don't know that they had a full experience because not having an actual honeymoon, not actually getting to grow the way Michael did with the rest of the couples, every time they did hang out with them, they were yelling at each other. So I don't even know that they can say they had a full MAFS experience, to be honest. So, yeah. Anyways, and then the other thing is this conversation that they had. This is, again, where the editors have fucked up because she already mentioned to Cesar the whole thing about Lauren. And then why didn't she discuss that with Michael? In that conversation, since it's already happened, yes, we're going to talk about where Lauren talks about what's happening, but then it never comes up again between the two of them, which I thought was very strange. But let's take a break and we'll get into that.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, and we're back. So we see Lauren doing a selfie cam, letting us know that she and Michael have a lot of similar interests, and it was nice to catch up. So allegedly, this was supposed to be right after she, Michael, and Claire met up. So why not just place it after that? Like, I think even the producers have given up, because now it feels like a whole lot of time has passed, and then this happened. Then she says she and Lauren are no longer friends because she followed Michael on social media. Lauren says that Chloe became really irate because of that. I mean, again, we don't know these people. Chloe could be pretending. But from all the things we've seen of Chloe, I don't know if she'll be upset at the follow, but maybe she was upset at more.
I'm with you. I'm also, the timeline is very confusing because clearly this happened before Chloe went to the farm with all the guys. Like you said, people have given up because I don't know why this was placed here.
Yeah. So Lauren said she apologized. She removed him from following her. She unfollowed him. And Chloe said it didn't matter because it was the ultimate betrayal. Okay. Lauren says that it was, even though she says it's the ultimate betrayal, I don't know. I've known that she's known Michael longer than Chloe. And Chloe is friends with Austin, but Chloe thinks nothing is wrong with that. So many, many things here. So this means that Chloe and Austin are very cool because she singled him out. And also, this goes back to what I was saying. I'm guessing Emily is pissed about that, maybe? Because why are we singling that out and saying, oh, he's friends with Austin, there's nothing wrong with that, so what's wrong with me being friends with Michael? Lauren says she's not in the business of coddling people's insecurities. If he's pursuing a friendship with Chloe, then she thinks it's best for her not to even be in the midst of that pettiness. And she doesn't want to deal with fake people, their jealousies, their insecurities, their pettiness, and whatever else. I don't think it's an equal comparison. But that's just me.
What part?
The Austin, her, Michael, Chloe situation. Because, again, from the words of someone who was there, Chloe says Lauren and Michael were flirting. I don't think that you can just say it's a friendship. I'm sure it was a friendship. Maybe it wasn't their intent, but there was something. There was some kind of, you know, oh, you got me the earrings. Oh, the internet has been calling for it. Or it wasn't. I don't know. But I wish, again, that they gave us more background as to, like, interview Chloe and say, what is it that you're mad at? Are you mad that he followed her? And the most that we got was the beginning when she talked to Cesar and said, she's trying to go after my man. Is she saying that, is she doing what everyone has done this season where a follow equals going after? Or are you just going based on what people are saying online? Like, there's a lot of, we don't know what the hell is happening.
And at Farm Day, she never ever said anything about the Michael and Lauren situation. It was all about burner accounts and social media comments. Nothing to do with people going after my man. That's why I don't like them.
But we know she doesn't because of the Cesar conversation. But what made her say that then?
Exactly. So to Cesar, she had one story. To the other guys, it was a little bit of a different story.
Well, because of the timing. I don't know if that Lauren thing had happened by then. The editors are the ones that are just shuffling everything back and forth. But even if they put it in at some other time, why did she never have that conversation with Michael?
That we saw, because we saw them talk a lot. But somehow, the topic of Lauren never came up in all these conversations that they showed us.
Insanity. Like, there's a story. Let's pursue that story. And they chose not to. Whatever. Anyways, we see Emily. And I thought Emily was back at their old apartment where they used to live. But it turns out that she's seeing her therapist, unless they chose the therapist to come see them at that apartment. They chose to see each other at that apartment. I don't know. There is a saying. It's not really a saying. But if your therapist is on reality TV, then your therapist is not a good therapist. I will give a disclaimer, though. For the show Couples Therapy that's on Showtime, there is a therapist there, and she is amazing. If you've never watched it, I recommend. It's called Couples Therapy on Showtime. Anyways, Emily's therapist. Sorry, didn't get his name. I couldn't stop looking at his necklace, and I'm like, is this man for real or a fraud or what is happening? As we go further, I am leaning further away from the for real part. She says that she continues to get realizations about herself and her family, and her brain is tired. She says Brennan was her dad in a lot of ways, that they were similar in like the way the criticalness, that was what she said, and the pushing hard. And she has made connections to help her in her healing, and that she has set boundaries and isn't speaking with her family. That actually made me kind of sad.
It made me sad, but I wondered if it might actually be the healthiest thing. And honestly, that part about Brennan being critical and her dad being critical and it not being good for her, I believe that to be true. Very, very true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Agreed. So then the therapist says, like, it's great that she has allies with the girls. And then Emily says that, oh, that she could be defensive sometimes, but the girls have helped her. They talk about her self-confidence, and this will help her the therapist saying that this will help her in the next phase of life when she decides to pursue a romantic relationship. But I'll let you aid. What were your thoughts on the therapist?
I thought that the therapist was mostly fine, but I think part of it for me is, like, I've never really been to therapy. So I don't know what therapists are supposed to say to get people to reality. So I wasn't sure if this was part of a multi-session effort to get her to reality, because she wasn't there in the session. She was somewhere else.
He just didn't give me authentic vibes. So I don't know. But if they're both getting what they want out of it, then kudos to them.
It felt like the therapist was feeding her delusions.
Yes. Like saying what she wanted to hear. Wait. Yes, saying what she wanted to hear. Anyways, we move on to Chloe and Michael. That's funny. My first line here is they're being very flirty with each other. They meet at some restaurant. They're having drinks and stuff like that. Michael says that their future is bright, that they have great chemistry. He brings up his clothing, how she didn't like a lot of it, but she liked one thing. And he gives her the one article of clothing of his that she liked. And it's a Maison Margiela sweater, orange sweater. You guys, I went down a rabbit hole trying to find out how much it cost. But it must be out of season because I could not find that anywhere. I went on eBay, I went on resale things, I typed in orange sweater, yellow sweater, gold front, all the things. I was just obsessed with finding out how much it was. I went on unisex, women's, men, I could not find anything about it. But all I know is that it is not cheap. The Maison Margiela is not cheap. Their sweaters, like, it starts from like $850 and ranges up to like $2,000 or something dollars. And I'm like, wait. Was it custom made? Because he did say from the house of Michael Maison Margiela, because I think you can custom make it. And I'm like, all right, Michael is, he's doing well for himself.
Just the fact that you found out how much a sweater of that brand costs is good enough for me. Because I was wondering, I was $800. You know, I'm glad because I feel like $800 to $2,000 is a heck of a lot of money, but it's not like... It's a very expensive gift, no matter what, but it's used, and it's not like, I don't know, $10,000, $5,000, because didn't we hear that Michael might spend that much on an item of clothing?
The man is doing good for himself with his little, what does he drive, a Range Rover or something? So, yeah. So it was sweet, and they do the flashback, because I really wanted to see what sweater was that again. So they do the flashback, and it was when they went to look at houses, I want to say, that she wore it. So it was nice. So Michael shares how much shit the guys give him for saying no to her, And Chloe says, well, the thing is, you can have the whole package at the wrong address, and if they're not meant to be, it's okay. Michael asks if she can foster a friendship with the group as a whole. Chloe says she wants to see everyone healed. Yes, she can, but can they? That the women have been the ones who have been mean, hurtful, and condescending. And I don't know if production did her any favors flashbacking to them at the reunion. That's the girls talking to the guys. Because at the point where she says they've been mean, hurtful, and condescending, I thought she meant her own experiences, not necessarily with the group. How did you interpret that?
Oh, and then they showed them being mean and condescending to the guys, but not to her. Yeah. So you're right.
Yeah.
They couldn't find a clip of them being mean and condescending to her. Although if they had just pulled out the part where Emily said the vows at the wedding were lame, that would have done it for her. but they didn't, because they couldn't really find an example of the girls being mean to Chloe, because they never really were, at least on camera.
Yeah. So she said, Michael says, deep down, he thinks they want to heal, but they need to break from the groupthink. I think that is the general consensus. Everybody is like, guys, how do you not see that this is a groupthink situation? I know it's like a supporting each other, but it is groupthink. Chloe says every single man is a good man and they just weren't matched with their person. And at the end of the day, technically, they were all rejected. Facts. And she thinks that they're struggling with everyone knowing that they weren't wanted, but that's not her problem or his problem. I don't know if I agree with this completely, that they're struggling with everyone knowing that they weren't wanted. What do you think?
I think Emily is very much struggling with not being wanted. Mm-hmm. I think Becca is too. I think Lauren is in a small, small way.
So you agree?
Claire is not struggling with that. I don't know what Claire's struggling with.
I don't include Claire in this thing. Claire just wants to be part of the mix. Claire did not like her husband from jump. Claire and her husband came up with a plan. I don't know what Claire's thing is here, to be honest. So, anyways, so you do agree with Chloe that they're struggling? Everyone knows they weren't wanted. Okay.
If we were to come, I have to think really hard. I think they would dispute that. I think that especially Emily would break it down to how she was treated. And Claire, too. This is how you treated me, and that's what they're struggling with. But in the narrative, it always comes back to how you weren't wanted. And so what you say you're struggling with and what you're actually struggling with, I think there's a difference there.
I would say Emily, probably, because she talks a lot about, I don't believe you didn't want me. How can you not want me? A lot of people think I'm cute. Oh, I'm still hot. I'm hot. So, and knowing that, I mean, she doesn't talk a lot about it, but I would assume as a woman, not a woman, I meant to say human being, any human being, not just a woman. If you've been rejected over and over again where people don't call you for a second date, I would think you'd be sensitive about that. Right. And I'm saying allegedly because I don't want to project on her. Maybe that doesn't bother her. I'm just going generally. I would think that would be a sensitive spot for you. So then if you do the ultimate and take the grand leap of faith to go on a show and then even then someone else even rejects you again, I can totally understand why that would be something. So, she tells us that the hardest thing for her has been the treatment from the women. Once again, but we don't get into details of what has been done. And she wants to show them grace and forgiveness and for them to have the opportunity to be better than they were yesterday. Then she tells him, all right, let's give it a shot. Michael says he will express that they can only come if they want to. And Chloe says, who doesn't want to heal? And then she goes, well, maybe they don't want to. Who knows? So the pink ladies gather once again. Lauren, Claire, and Emily and Becca, they are going to go get a tattoo. We find out that it's just Emily and Claire that's getting the tattoo. Becca is like, she's going to Australia, she's going to be in water and all of this stuff and all the activities. So she's not sure if she can do that. Lauren is on the fence. She says she's for similar reasons and various other reasons. So I had already said no comment, but then we see an interview and she's like, yeah, I'm not sure if this tattoo is going to remind me of the happy times or if it's going to take me back to the roller coaster of what this experience was. Basically, yeah, I'm not going to commemorate this experience in my life with these people.
But, you know, Lauren really reveals. Lauren's comments really reveal kind of how crazy this is. Getting a tattoo is not crazy, but if something in your life wasn't that great, why would you? The last time the girls got a matching tattoo was DC, and they specifically said it's about our friendship with each other. It was not about whatever happened with their married at first sight relationships. This tattoo is clearly about married at first sight and the relationships they had with their husbands, and Lauren is just like, No, I don't think I want to do this. Lauren is never getting that tattoo. I don't think Becca is either.
I mean, Lauren's marriage ended day two, technically, so I don't even know why she'd be a part of it. But the best part, guys, this tattoo is a dainty wave. Again, I did not think I heard right, so I rewound, put on my captions, and it was a dainty wave on their wrist. Except it doesn't look like a wave.
What does it look like?
It looks like a lasso or rope that's just there. I mean, if they did not tell you that it was a wave and someone presented that to you, are you going to say, oh, that's a wave? No.
I mean,
well, for me.
That's because I'm slow. But generally speaking, I can see that that's a wave.
Nope. If they did not say that it was a wave, if I just met someone and they were like, oh, this is my tattoo, I would honestly, my first thought would have been, what is this supposed to be? It could be a fin. It could be a dolphin's fin. It could be anything. But honestly, the first thought would not be that that's a wave on my wrist.
Okay. I mean, I think it looks like a wave, but.
No, I know that it looks like a. No, what I'm saying is because they said it was a wave, I see it. But I'm saying if they never ever mentioned and they presented it to like 10 people and say, what is this supposed to be? Would you still think it's a wave? And you're okay, I guess what you're saying is you would still think it's a wave even if they didn't say so.
It might take me a while to get there because I don't pick up on these things, but it looks like the universal symbol for a wave to me.
Okay. We'd like to hear from you guys. Let us know if you, well, even though it's hard, now that you know who it is and what it is, if you would know what it is or not. It didn't like a wave to me. They got a lot of flack for it online. Everyone was like, what is this? Even though they know it's a wave, and it's like, what is this supposed to be? But they said that it signifies them releasing control and the tsunami is over, but they're riding the wave. Emily says that it's a life event that she'll remember forever. It's her first relationship, her first marriage, and her first divorce. It goes by really quick. And the way Claire reacted to the tattoo is basically her personality. Oh my God. Oh, and the lady's like, we're done. She goes, oh, we're done. Then she goes, oh, that wasn't bad. That was a piece of cake. You were just there oohing and aahing. And then you're like, oh, that wasn't that bad. So I think it just epitomizes what she is or her personality as a person.
Tane, every time this comes up where Emily calls her marriage to Brennan her first relationship, I'm like, I don't think this counts.
It does.
It doesn't.
Unfortunately.
A wedding doesn't a relationship make.
I think it does. It might have been a short relationship, but it was a relationship where you had to travel together. You had to room together. You went on a honeymoon together. And then you had to live together. So, well, okay. I see both sides.
For her, I don't want her to call this a relationship. Because a key part of a relationship is that at least for a time, someone wants to be with you.
Yeah. Oh, he did for one day.
Yeah. I'll even give him 1 week. But I'm just like, Emily, this. When she says it was her first relationship, I'm like, I need you to have another relationship that is not this relationship. And you can call it that.
Yeah. And that's probably what's going to happen. When she meets someone and all that, then she'll be like, this is my first real relationship. I had a marriage. She'll be like one of the few people who say, I was married, but I was not in a relationship. But this is my first relationship.
And there it'll be valid.
And it'll be valid. Emily does make a funny where she says, if we aren't guys, if I think it was Emily or Claire, I'm not sure. If we aren't friends forever. And I laughed because, well, you still have the tattoos. So, but thankfully, it's not anything that's tied to anything. So you could easily make it whatever you want to be if they're not friends forever. But I kind of feel like they're under pressure to be friends forever.
Hmm. Once you get a matching tattoo, you can't be like, oh, I don't talk to her no more.
My question is, if Lauren didn't meet them through the show, would they be friends? Only because they just seem so different from the friends that we met. I know I keep going back to it, but yeah. This show really bonded them, I guess.
On Instagram, it looks like they're all having the four of them. And I enjoy this because I'm like, I hope that they go out and have a good time and don't talk about those men. But yeah. The four of them seem to be having a really good time together and seem to be really good friends.
Yeah. I know. I'm just saying, like,
would it have ever happened? Who knows?
Yeah, the show really bonded them. Anyways, we get a really, really unnecessary scene with Orion and his friend Dominique. And I guess he got rid of his truck and got a really tiny car. We still don't know what this man is doing for work. We didn't get an update. I think 8 asked last week. We don't know if he got his certification. But there was more talk about a marriage that ended week 1. And he says it's starting to feel like a blessing in disguise. His biggest takeaway is that he generalizes things, so things could be misconstrued. We have heard this 1,000 times. So anyways, this was a very unnecessary scene. I don't know what we're trying to achieve with this. So we have the meetup that Chloe and Michael try to put up. No one shows up except Austin. And they said they put out the invites and no one showed up. So Austin showed up with his roommate, Kyla, who is looking at him adoringly. And I'm like, am I just reading into things? But anyways, Michael asked if she missed Austin when he was out. And Austin doesn't let her talk. And he asks his friend and says, she did. And I'm like, well, yeah, if someone is your roommate, you are going to miss half their chores, half their presence not being in there. Like, yeah, there's nothing wrong with missing you. And she goes, no, it's more of the fact that she's the youngest of 7 siblings and she's used to just having to tell someone about her day. Kyla asks Chloe what she had to get used to when she and Michael were together. And Chloe says the fact that he was always naked and helicoptering in her face every day. Kyla says, like, their friendship seems seamless. And again, I find it weird that there was, again, no discussion of Lauren. Kyla says that she noticed that whenever Austin tells a story, he would always say the guys and Chloe. And she feels that Chloe is a bit more mature. Austin says, oh, shit. Kyla says she's not picking sides, that she's just it's just a recognition of shit. Chloe says she goes where she's loved and respected, and she has only felt that with the guys. She's getting a lot of flack online, and people are calling her a pick-me. For those who don't know what a pick-me is, I think the best way to describe it is like a woman who does things for to get validation from men, to be seen as the cool girl. I don't know that that's what Chloe's doing. This is a very interesting situation to be in. She's been rejected by the women, so she gravitated towards the men, which doesn't mean that the men didn't do crap. They just weren't mean to her from her point of view.
I would love to investigate this further, because the more I think about it, the more I'm like, what beef would the women have ever had with Chloe? Like, besides the Lauren thing, which they're telling us is the reason why.
And happened afterwards.
It's just really bizarre how this came to be. They were too caught up in their own stuff to even care much about Chloe and Michael. So how did they work out that they needed to go after Chloe and hated Chloe? Like, it's just really confusing.
And also, I don't know, and that's a good question, because if we remember from After Party, Lauren was like, you know, when we went to their weddings, like, intentionally, like, we shouldn't bring our shit to their wedding so they could have their moment and they could have their thing and all that stuff. So there was some kind of, not grace, but whatever the word is, intentionality.
Intentional kindness.
Yeah. So when did that switch? So again, another season where we don't know what's going on and we just have to go with whatever story they're presenting to us. So Michael says that they are all happier not having to talk about it. Chloe says she wishes them love, light, healing, and everything they may need to be different people. There was a lot of shade thrown by Chloe on this episode. So I fully don't expect them to be speaking ever again in life.
Unexplainable, so, though. Unexplainable. This level of hostility. The more I think about it, the more I'm like, I'm not seeing an explanation here from either side that really makes sense. Mm-hmm. And then I wonder, maybe Chloe's the problem.
Yeah. I mean, not everyone is culpable this season. You cannot vouch for anyone. But again, like we always say, guys, we just comment based on what we are shown. We are not privy to the behind the scenes, what happened. So, hey, who knows? The women meet up again, I guess, instead of going to the event. There is some kind of dress donation. So they are all bringing their wedding dresses. The organization is called Wish Upon a Wedding, which I think is a really good cause. So if anyone is able to donate, I think it's really good. They help families or people who need the help, who are planning a wedding under, well, kind of traumatic circumstances, like people who have cancer or are sick or terminal illnesses and things like that. So that was good, but pretty strange. They didn't go to someone's house. They brought boxes to a public place to drop them in. They all state intentions over their dresses and place them in. And I was like, the divine sisterhood of the Yaya. I need to learn how to say this right. I always get it wrong, but I always just think about that. Lawrence says that she wanted a husband, but instead she got three new friendships and a newfound love for herself. Lauren says that they are all at different spots with their exes, that she doesn't have any ill will towards the ex-husbands. Emily's like, oh, I do. Lauren's like, we know. Emily says Brennan told everyone divorce is not an option, and she wants him to have it on record to remember this, that she hopes in 20 years when she's married and rich again and hot, that he appears out of the abyss to recognize what he went through and have his eyes open. And I just want to be like, oh, poor baby. This man ain't thinking about you in 20 years. He's not even thinking about you right now. That is the problem. And they're going, like, there's a lot of back and forth that I'm going to spare you guys out of Emily just spewing stuff and Lauren trying to be like the mature big sister. She's like, you know, what you're feeling is on brand with what you should be feeling for your first relationship. But yeah, don't hold your breath on someone like Brennan growing. And honestly, what she's saying is true. I felt this when I was younger, way younger. When I was in college and, you know, something happened and I'll be like, you're never going to meet anyone as good as me. Yes, they will. They will be fine. They will sleep so well. They will move on before you. They will move on after you. They will find people. Their lives will be just fine. But I just thought at 30, you would know that. But again, the not having a relationship thing is there. And this is not going through with Emily. It's not sinking in. She's still hoping in 20 years that he would think about her. And I say it and I say it again. I don't think they should cast people who have not been in relationships. I just don't know that it's been done and it's worked. And it's just too much pressure, so to speak. But Emily says she doesn't think he will be happy until he has that aha moment. And there was no moment of him being apologetic. And she has never been treated that poorly. And it makes her sick. And it is healthy to have hate or dislike for people after how they've been treated. Lauren, once again, is like, yeah, I don't want to say healthy, but It's valid for you to feel that way. And all I can say is I think Emily needs to change therapists.
Yes. To one who helps. We're all like the therapist. This is a girl who's really, really committed to her victimhood. And to her retribution that's not coming. I don't know if anybody can talk her out of it.
Yeah, maybe she just needs to feel her feelings and get it out. But they tried. They tried to get her to see the light. And she mentions that she got yelled at by everyone to stop talking about it. And she's gotten better. And they all go, oh, yeah, you've shown the most growth. You're the, from the beginning, it's lightning years and blah, blah, blah. And Claire says, like, yeah, they've helped her to be less sensitive. That she did say that she's kind of a mess and chaotic, but they're her favorite sister wives. Becca says this is like in a weird way, this is what they wanted for their marriages, but they got it through the friendship. They do a recap montage of everything they have learned. This is all the cast in general. I'm not going to bore you guys with it because we've heard a million times what they're going to do. And then we get a preview for Chicago, but it's a different preview from the ones that we've seen before. So yep. Excited. Cannot wait to see it.
I was like watching a preview and I was like, a date. You're going to give us a date? Any date? No date.
No date. No date. So, yeah. This is how the episode ends and the season ends. And this is it. Chapter closed on season 17.
You know, history can only tell, but I collectively, not individually, this was the worst group ever.
Yeah. Yeah. And for so
some
many
were better
reasons.
Than others. Some were less awful than others. But as a group, the worst.
This just like no joy. You can't even, it's bad when they want to do a happiness montage and it's not even joyful. Like, that's how bad it was. So, glad to put this behind us. And now we await for the date for the new season. And like Aid said at the top of the episode, we will still be coming out with different episodes and recaps of different shows. Keep them coming. Keep your ideas coming. We're putting them in a pile and seeing what we can do. Yeah.
And this is a great, we're going to do Summer House Martha's Vineyard. And if you have not been watching it, first off, the first season is only like 8 episodes. There's been, we'll be covering the first 6 episodes of the current season to start. But yes, it's a good binge. It's not going to take you that long and you will be highly entertained. So if you have not joined the Summer House Martha's Vineyard train, now is the time to join for us.
Yeah.
And you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at AltarCallMAFS. That's AltarCallMAFS. We love hearing from you guys.
Please give us a 5-star rating if you so desire on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. It really helps us. And we'll be back this week with another episode for you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Brighten your home with big savings at Menards. Combine stylish lighting with LED technology with Fight Electric smart color-changing light bulbs. They have a full range of colors, allowing you to choose the perfect one to suit your mood. Say big on all Fight Lighting smart home products. Now at Menards. Shop our lighting options today in-store and on Menards.com.
Save big money at Menards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.